Jeremiah chapter 6. Stand up for the reading of God's word, if you would please. We're going to read responsively here, verses 8 through 19, and we'll begin together out loud on the even verses, and then I'll read the odd verses by myself, all beginning in verse 8. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord, from the least of them even unto the greatest of them. Every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. We're going to continue to talk about these old paths, and we've definitely established the fact that God wants us on the old paths. He says in verse 8, be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. God wanted them to be instructed. God wanted them to return. God wanted them to be on the old paths. He gives his explanation in verses 9 through 15. He talks about their condition, where they had gone, how far they had gone, how far away from God they had gone, to the point that even the thought of sin and the act of sin itself didn't even make them blush. Everyone had dealt falsely. Everyone had been covetous. Everyone had gone away. It was a catastrophe. And yet God says, be thou instructed. And yet God says in verse 16, thus saith the Lord. He says, please. He says, I beg you. He says, you must, he says, stand ye in the ways and see. You know what? Well, part of the problem is the devil has us blinded to these things. We're not even willing to, we need to open our eyes. In a similar sense, the Bible says many times, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear, right? We gotta open our ears. He says in earlier in the chapter, their ears are uncircumcised. They can't even hearken. Their eyes are shut. Their ears are closed. And he says, stand ye in the ways and see. Folks, listen to me. I know that the way of the Lord is a narrow way. It's a narrow path, but it's shining in truth. How many of you, when you hear truth, you just know it? You're like, man, that's true. That's how God is. You know, we sing in these songs, and I was just,
I just cringe because I've had so many people tell me, oh, these old hymns, they don't do anything for me. Then you're dead. I'm sorry. Because there is so much just truth just oozing out of these things. Just the things we're talking about, victory in Jesus and such and so forth. Blessed be the name. Who's on the who's on the Lord's side? I mean, I just want to re-enlist again. But you know what Navy stands for, right? Never again volunteer yourself. We learned that in boot camp. It was too late. I already signed it out of line. Such and so forth. But, you know, I just want to jump up and just go to war. I mean, I don't know how you can say that. But God's saying, your eyes are shut. You need to open your eyes. You need to see. Your ears are closed. You need to hearken. And he says, I want you to. He says, you know what? Even further than that, ask me and I'll tell you. You know, men, I think we can kind of admit to this. We don't like to ask for directions, right? When we're putting together Christmas presents, you know, we don't need it. I mean, the first thing you do is open the box and throw the instructions out. And guess what? When you put it together, if you don't have parts left over, you did it wrong. All right, that's just a general rule of thumb. That's how it works, okay? All you ladies are like, just read the instructions. Just pull over and ask for directions, okay? I don't know who talks like that, but... Now, God says, I want you to know. I want you to ask me. He says, where is it? It is the good way. Again, that's not a question. That's a statement. This old path is the good way. It's the place that we find rest for our souls. It's the place where God is and God wants us to be. You understand that 1 John 1:9 is not a salvation verse. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, that is a relationship verse. That's not a salvation verse. We are to have a relationship with God. God wants us to walk on the old path. He says, hey, Jerusalem, Israel, you have gotten off the old paths. You've gone down another way. Come back. Stand in the ways and see. Realize where you are and come back. But they said, we will not walk therein. We will not hearken. Folks, we have a choice. We have a choice to make concerning these old paths. I appreciate each one of you being here today. I know that probably on average, you passed a half a dozen or more other churches to get here. Folks, there are lots of paths to go down. We need to choose the right one. We need to choose God's path. You say, is it so narrow? Is it that way? Yes, it is. Because God is narrow. You say, how is that possible? He's everything. You know, he has no limits, no boundaries. Yes, but he is singular. He is God, if you will. Yes, I know he's plural. I understand that. But he is the only God. There are no other gods. There is no other way. Folks, there are not 101 ways to heaven. Just one. Last I checked, that's pretty narrow. It's not, well, I feel like going this way, or I feel like going. No, it is the old path. So we've talked about some of these things, how they're important in our lives. We've talked about the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, how it must be the foundation for all matters of faith and practice and authority, final authority in our lives. That the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Again, these are not three entities. These are co-identical, coexisting, one being defined by God definition of God. Okay? Not man's definition of God, God's definition. We talked about the depravity of man. That we're all sinners. Because of Adam's sin, because of his choice, it's been passed upon all men. There is none righteous, no, not one. No one is perfect. No one can get to heaven on their own. We are depraved. And certainly, what is not true is that man is generally or inherently good. Man is generally and inherently bad. And listen, the worst thing a parent could ever tell their child is to follow their heart. Because the heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. It will lead them on a path to straight to hell. Because that's where it's bent. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be born again. Amen? We talked about salvation. We believe that salvation is the gift of God. I love Ephesians chapter 2. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, just by that first introductory statement there, what do we have to do with salvation? Nada. Nothing. It is of no merit of our own, folks. It is by the grace of God. He goes on to say that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Now he further explains, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You understand, folks, the Bible's very clear that there is no salvation in any other but Jesus Christ. That there is nothing else of that we can do or say. It's only Christ. Because if we could save ourselves, what use is Christ? None. None. You understand also that Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So guess what? Saved to work, not work to be saved. We got to get it right. We're saved to work. We're not working to be saved. It's not that way. That's how it is. God says it is salvation, no merit, gift of God through Jesus Christ unto good works, not because of good works. We should walk in them. We should live a life pleasing to the Lord. That brings us to another thing of the old paths that we need to make sure of. Is something that we Baptists take a bad rap on, if you will. People don't like to hear this. It's something called eternal security. Eternal security. And let me just put it to you in layman's terms. Once saved, always saved. You understand that what God does, it's forever. We believe that the redeemed, once saved, are kept by God's power and are thus secure in Christ Jesus forever. Now let me just stop right there and clarify something. This is all based on the premise that you're saved. Okay, you understand? Okay? Because we can go into dozens and dozens of verses where it says, well, Pastor, but it says, by their fruits you shall know them. And he says to some, you prophesied in my name, you did work of, but I depart from me, you work of his iniquity, I never knew you. So, okay, yes, I understand all of that. But please remember, this doctrine is based upon the initial premise that you are born again. And guess what? God has given us a beeper. Where'd he go? Somebody stole my beeper.
Yep, see, somebody else wanted it. Oh, well. I'll just use my wallet. Okay, right?
Beep, 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 saved. Beep, 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 saved. Beep, 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 beep.
Not saved.
I mean, no. You don't have a beeper. You don't have something that says... And listen, folks. Who knows if you're really saved? Yeah. You and God. You know. Listen, that's why I like to ask people, do you know that you know that you know you're born again? If there's a doubt, if there's a maybe, then you need to check it out. You need to make sure that you know that you have eternal life. You understand that salvation is something we can know. It's not a mystery. We don't just grow into it. We don't just fall into it. It's a choice. We choose Christ. That's what happens. The thief on the cross, he says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest. And I get, you know what that thief did? He chose Jesus. You know, these men that Jesus talked to, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You know what they did? They left their nets and they followed him. Hey, folks, salvation is a choice. There needs to be a time in your life that you leave everything else behind, where you turn from your sin, you turn from your other beliefs, and you trust Jesus. That's salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when we choose Jesus Christ, guess what we're trusting in? We're trusting in who to save us? Jesus. Am I trusting me to save me? No. Because there's nothing that I can do to save me. My righteousness is as filthy rags. I cannot die for anyone's sins, because I'm a sinner. Guess who could die for the sins of mankind? The sinless Lamb of God. His blood is the only blood that could make payment for our sins, folks. Mine can't, yours can't, nobody else's can. Only his. It is by his atoning blood that we're born again. It's his righteousness that we put on. It is his glory, not ours. And guess what? If I live a life pleasing to the Lord, what do I receive? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If I don't, what do I receive? Thou wicked and slothful servant. But guess what both were? Servants. You understand that whether I do or don't do what he says, I'm still saved. Let me ask you a question, those of you that either are a child or have children. Okay, so guess what? That's everybody. Unless you're an alien or you are hatched or something like that, or came out from a rock or whatever. Maybe you're the missing link, the one that came out of the primordial ooze that, you know, I don't know. Don't get me into evolution now. we're all somebody's son, daughter, or we have sons and daughters. What does it take to be eliminated from your family? You say, well, by law, you can be disinherited. Okay. You say, well, by law, you can change your name. Sure. But can someone tell me scientifically what you can do to change your DNA? Can't. Mm-mm. So let me ask you, if you're a good son, then you're a son, right? You're a good daughter, you're a daughter, right? What if you're a bad one? Are you still a son? Are you still a daughter? Is the relationship broken? Perhaps. But do you ever stop being your father's child? Your mother's child? What even if they say to you, I don't want you anymore? Guess what? You still are. What about the people that are left on doorsteps of orphanages or such and so forth? They don't know their mom or dad. But that doesn't eliminate the fact that they have a mom and a dad. We all do. Folks, once we're born into the family of God, we're born into the family of God. Who's going to separate us? Nothing. Over in John chapter 6, Jesus says this, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And to him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, does that have anything to do with the ones that are saved? Who's doing the saving? Who's doing the keeping? Who's doing the raising? Jesus Christ. Over in John chapter 10, Jesus says this, or the Bible says this about a conversation with Jesus. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The security that we have of salvation in Jesus Christ, folks, is not secure unless He's securing it. How many of you would trust me to secure your most prized possession? Raise your hand. Anybody? Good. Good choice. You know why? Because I'm human. Can I lose something? Yes. Can something be taken from me? If you try hard enough. I have about eight opportunities to make that not happen before I reload. Okay, no, but I am human. You want to trust me to keep your salvation? How about this? I'll even make it easier for you. How many of you would like to trust yourselves to keep your salvation? Who thinks they would succeed? Yeah, not me. Not me. I wouldn't succeed. Would you? How many of you would like to trust Jesus with your salvation? Oh, yeah. Who thinks he could keep on to it? Who thinks he could take care of it? See how easy this choice is? Why would you believe that you could lose your salvation? Oh, where do my keys go? You know what? One thing that I'm always looking for, my keys. Or my tooth. Where's my tooth? That's right here. Okay. There we go. I got it today. No, I'm always losing something. I mean, I have no choice over it, but I'm losing my hair too. I mean, it just won't stay in there. We lose, I mean, but does God lose anything? No? No, he knows where it all is. Hey, God's so good. He even knows the number of hairs on my head. And guess what? He's subtracting by the minute. It just, I mean, it's just that way. I don't know why that thought just popped in my head, but it did. 1 Peter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen to this. To an inheritance. Now, is an inheritance, as far as God is concerned, something you can lose? No. Because we're sons. We're daughters. We are born into the family of God. It's incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. These are all absolute words, folks. If we're born again, if we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have salvation. Now, he doesn't stop there. Listen to this. Who are kept by the power of God. Again, it states plainly that I am not the keeper of my salvation. You are not the keeper of your salvation. God is keeping it for you. He says, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Hey, do we know when the last time is? Who does? God. God's the one that knows. Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now back to that verse that I talked to you about, where the Bible says, Lord, Lord, we prophesy in thy name, we cast out devils. Listen to me. When Jesus says to those people, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never. Now here's what I'm going to address here. If you could be saved and know Jesus, right? And Jesus knows you. Isn't that salvation? Okay. And then you lose your salvation, so Jesus doesn't know you, right? And then you can regain your salvation, so Jesus knows you again, right? And then you work iniquity and you lose your salvation, so Jesus... So let me ask you a question. So if that's true, let's say I die here in the... I've worked iniquity and I've lost my salvation. Could I say, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name? I did mighty works in your name? I could. But could Jesus say to me, I never knew you? Would that be true? No. So Jesus would be is Jesus a liar? No. How is the only way he could never know me? If I never had salvation. Salvation and eternal security are important doctrines of the old path. To believe that one can lose their salvation would be to believe that God can't save anybody. Because who's doing the saving? Now I am. Because I'm the one that determines whether my salvation is good or bad. Whether it's void or valid. Either one. Am I the one that decides that? No. Now let me just put it to you this way. It's all based on if you're saved. Because here's the thing. And people don't like this when I do this, but I'm going to do it anyways because I'm me. If someone rides one of our church buses, comes here to church, goes to Sunday school, here's the truth of the gospel. Everybody okay with this so far? They understand they're a sinner. They understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior. They've never heard this before. And they come down and they say, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I want Jesus. And they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're 8 years old. They live in a broken home. They live in an awful circumstance. But they came and they trusted Jesus to be their Savior. They go home. The next week, the parents get a divorce and mom moves to Pakistan and takes the kid with her. Now this kid who just trusted Jesus as Savior is over in some foreign country. And all they hear is Islam, Allah, this and that. And they become indoctrinated in that religion. They grow up 20, 25 years old, strap a bomb to their chest, stand in the middle of a crowd and blow themselves up. Are they going to heaven? See, people don't like me saying this. Yes. Why? If they were saved. Now, do I know that that decision that that kid made as an 8-year-old child was real? I don't know that. But you know who does know that? God does. And if they trusted Christ, they're going to heaven. Because it's of no merit of my own. And people don't like me saying that. That rubs people the wrong way. But what's it based on? If. If they've been born again. Can you always help your circumstances? No. But what can you do? You can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You can be born again. You can accept God's gift of eternal life. We are not the ones that keep our salvation. We're the ones that choose salvation. God's the one that keeps it for us. We believe that it's the privilege of believers to rejoice in the assurance of their salvation through the testimony of God's word, which, however, clearly forbids the use of our Christian liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Now, let me just, this is a further statement of this. This is very important. Oh, brother, we're in the age of grace. I can live however I want. I can do whatever I want because I'm saved. You know what Paul says? God forbid. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Folks, how are we supposed to live? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works that we should walk in them. Now, once again, do not confuse the way we should live with either keeping or losing our salvation. It's all about, after salvation, it's all about relationship. How's your relationship with God? Are you in good standing with God? Or are you in bad standing with God? We have to remember that our salvation, because it's secure, is not an occasion to live in the flesh. It's not a license to say, well, I can do whatever I want, and I'm still going to heaven. You know what that is? You might as well just walk over to the face of Jesus Christ and just go, spit right in it. That's how bad that would be. We need to understand these truths. These truths are put to us in Scripture for a purpose. Go over to Romans chapter 13. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. Now, please understand, we do not have the time to go through all the dozens of Scriptures that are attributed to these evidences of this doctrine. Look over at Romans in chapter 13. Paul says, let everyone be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained, that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting in drunkenness, not in chambering in wantonness, not in strife and in envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Folks, that's how we're supposed to live as Christians. That's the way of life, the things that we're supposed to do, to honor God. Who gave you salvation? God. So who should you live? Whose rules should you live by? Whose way should you live by? God's. Not your own. We could go through Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8. We can go through Galatians chapter 5. We can go through Titus chapter 2. We can go through lots of scriptures. And we can see that our salvation is not because of how we live, but rather our salvation is why we live how we live. It's the evidence. And let me just kind of end on this idea. Does it matter to me whether or not you're saved? Does it affect my salvation whether or not you're saved? No. What's important to know? That I know that I'm going to heaven. That you know that you're going to heaven. You say, but Pastor, I saw so-and-so. They're not living the right kind of life. I don't think that they're really born again. Then pray for them. But you know what? That's not between you and God. That's between them and God. You know, these things are not given for us to judge other people. But you know what? I have family that I'm not so sure that they are born again. But you know what? I'm not the judge of that. So you know what my job is to do? To pray for them. To witness to them. To help them. But it's not my job to judge them. God will be the judge. God knows who's saved, who isn't saved. God's the one that's keeping the salvation of those who have believed. It's not on us. These things of the old paths are important. Too many people spend too much time getting off on other paths than what God says is the path. The way of salvation is one way. And that way of salvation is kept not by man, but by God. Through His power. Because He's the only one that can keep us saved. Remember what Jesus said. They're in my hand. No man plucketh them out of my hand. Folks, let me tell you something. The little man that's in the hand, can he get out? No. Because he's in the hand. You're a son, you're a daughter, can you get out of your family? Well, maybe in a legal sense you can. Changing your name, going and get plastic surgery. But you can't change those strands of DNA. It's solid. It's secure in Jesus Christ our Lord.